Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the Oscar nominations were announced this morning, and according to the Academy, the 10 best movies of the year were The King's Speech, The Social Network, Black Swan, The Fighter, True Grit, The Kids Are Alright, Inception, 127 Hours, Toy Story 3, and Winter's Bone. The King's Speech tops the list for the most nominations with 12, including Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Actor. Right now we want to go through the big categories and open up the phones a little bit for you to weigh in on who you think's going to win or should win, and what should have been nominated but wasn't. And we'll do that with the chief film critic at the New York Times, A.O. Scott, and Slate's film critic and co-host of Slate's Culture Gab Fest, Dana Stevens. Hi, Dana.
Hi.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, how are you?
Good. And listeners, call up if you think you know who's going to win Best Picture, or call us up and tell us what movie, actor, writer, or director got snubbed who shouldn't have this morning. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Either of you surprised by anything on or off the Best Picture list with 10? It's such a big list now, but any surprises by, you know, on the nominations, Dana?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I was surprised by some of the things that made that list, that newly expanded list, but did not get a Best Director nod, which sort of seems like code for this movie has no chance and was only included to fill up the list. And one of those was The Kids Are All Right. It seemed a little surprising that it was up for Best Picture and not up for Best Director.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was surprised at how few surprises there are on this list. But I think with the 10, it almost automatically breaks down into a two-tiered list. I don't think this is the second year they've done it. I don't think either time there's been a sense that all 10 of these have an equal shot. I think there are probably two, maybe three in the lead now. I mean, it's interesting, Dana, you mentioned in the Best Director category, two very well thought of films nominated Best Motion Picture, both directed by women, The Kids Are All Right, and Winter's Bone. Neither of those women shows up in the Best Director.
Yeah, you read my mind, especially the year after Kathryn Bigelow sweeps both Best Picture and Best Director,
yeah,
and supposedly breaks the glass ceiling for female directors. So, yeah, a part of me was down in the mouth to see those two women left.
Well, on a somewhat similar subject, it's one of the more notably undiverse. If you go down into the actor categories, this is looking like one of the whitest Oscars in a very long time.
Such as, let's see, anybody wonder? Oh, Best Actor, James Franco, 127 Hours, Jeff Bridges, True Grit, Colin Firth, King's
Scour
Speech.
All you want, Brian. You're not going to find anyone non-white.
Well, no, I'm just...
Javier Bardem does not count.
Relaying the details. Jesse Eisenberg, Social Network, and Javier Bardem from Beautiful. And Best Actress, Annette Bening, Kids Are All Right, Nicole Kidman, Rabbit Hole, Jennifer Lawrence, Winter's Bone, Natalie Portman, The Black Swan, Michelle Williams, Blue Valentine. What about what about James Franco in 127 Hours? What do you think? Does he deserve an Oscar for convincingly cutting off his own arm?
Well, my question is, given that he's both hosting and is now nominated in a major category, will there be a gag somewhere in the Oscars where he mimes cutting off his own arm? I really want that to happen at some point during the ceremony. I mean, I love James Franco. I think he's great in that role. Tony, I think you loved that movie, 127 Hours, more than I did. But, you know, especially now that it's expanded to, you know, to 10 films, I think, sure, stick it in there.
Yeah, no, I liked it a lot. And I think that it is a pretty amazing performance, given that he's virtually the only character in the movie and has to carry the movie. It's not just a matter of him cutting off his arm, but he's immobilized and stuck in this tiny crack in a canyon in the middle of nowhere, and somehow on the strength of his performance and also the director Danny Boyle's visual wit and energy, they turn this into a very exciting and lively and funny and surprising movie. Even though you go in, you know, in most cases knowing exactly what you're in store for. So I think James Franco is a really interesting actor and personality, and It will be a new wrinkle in the broadcast that they have two kind of
nominees.
Young, attractive actors, one of them a nominee, being the hosts.
It seems like James Franco this year has specialized in taking on, and actually his whole career has specialized in taking on these technically very demanding roles, like that one and the Allen Ginsberg biopic that he did this year. And the Oscars is sort of like the next one, the next demanding technical feat he's going to try to pull off.
We did a short film on for the Times, end of the year film issue of the magazine, where we had him making out with himself on camera, accompanied by music for like a minute and a half. And that was a pretty great performance, too, I have to say.
Lindsay and Chelsea are on WNYC. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi. I am shocked that Ryan Gosling didn't get a nomination for Blue Valentine, even though his co-star Michelle Williams did, because I think he's the one that steals the movie over Michelle Williams.
I actually think the opposite. I found his performance very, very annoying, trying to channel Marlon Brando. And hers, I thought, had a lot more authenticity and a lot more restraint. So I will respectfully disagree with you there.
See, for me, you're splitting hairs because I think they're both great. But by a hair, I would say I like her performance better. I wish the movie had gotten a little more recognition overall because I really like Blue Valentine. But once you start custom ordering your own Oscars, you just make yourself miserable.
Well, if our custom ordered Oscars, I think nobody would watch, probably.
Susan and Gladstone, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to know a couple of things. First of all, I think that The King's Speech is one of the most magnificent films I have ever seen. So beautifully put together. The story was remarkable. Not that I don't know about the story, but I think that it should get the Oscar. I think that both Jeffrey Rush and Colin Firth should get the Oscar. One of my questions is, the girl with the dragon tattoo that came out of Sweden, that would not be up for, it couldn't be up for an Oscar for Best Picture? Would that have to be in foreign language film?
I don't know. Can you speak to the rules of that, Tony? I don't think it could
be. Well, it could be, theoretically. I mean, the foreign language rules are bizarre and arcane in that each country gets to submit only one official choice, which means a lot of very interesting movies just don't even have a chance there. And theoretically, the Academy can nominate anything in any category that's opened in the U.S. In the past 12 months, or up to December 31st. So sometimes movies that are eligible for foreign language film also get nominated in other categories, like with Javier Bardem, who's nominated for Beautiful, which is also best foreign language film. I have a feeling that Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, just to sort of speculate into maybe cynically into the politics of the Academy, since that's about to be remade in Hollywood, they sort of wanted to maybe to leave the Swedish version alone. But I don't know if Sweden even submitted that, so in which case that would be a moot point.
Tom in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, thank you.
Good. I'm a documentary filmmaker myself, and I was most interested in seeing the documentary categories that came out this morning. And Waiting for Superman, Davis Guggenheim's film, was snubbed, which was surprising considering all of the advanced press and discussions that were around it and around schools. But one other film, the only one of the five nominated that doesn't have a distribution deal, is called Gasland, which has a very strong local interest here since it's about fracking for natural gas.
Right.
And is up there in the... And I think you might have had Josh Fox on your show, or was he on...
I think he was on with Leonard. We had last year all five of the directors of the nominated documentaries, and we're going to try to do that again. For those of you interested, the other ones nominated in the Best Documentary category are Exit Through the Gift Shop, Inside Job, Restrepo about the Afghanistan War. Inside Job is on the financial crisis. Exit Through the Gift Shop is a kind of a Banksy film, and Wasteland about a huge garbage dump in Brazil. Filmmakers are from Brooklyn. Anybody want to answer his question about Waiting for Superman?
Didn't Tony just recently name that as his single least favorite movie of the entire year?
The more I thought about that movie, the more problems I had with it. It's a movie about, I would say, supposedly about the education crisis in America and educational reform. I found it very... very glib. I mean, I have a off the top of my head kind of odd theory of why it might have been snubbed, which is it's a pretty fundamentally anti-union movie, and most members of the Academy are actually members of labor unions.
Hmm.
Dana, are you willing to deconstruct it politically
I like that reading. I would never have thought of that particular industry angle on it.
It may be completely specious, but, you know.
I was just thinking that maybe it was just because Davis Guggenheim had already gotten his documentary Oscar and people felt like he got his recognition for An Inconvenient Truth and they were done with it.
That may be more likely.
On Best Picture, from our comments page, DG from NYC writes, if there's an English film, this is about King's Speech, especially one about the Brits, any other film in the running has no chance. The Oscars always swoon over the English. Really too bad for such much better films this year as Winter's Bone and Social Network. do you agree? I mean, certainly America's swooning over this royal wedding. Is that going to play over to the King's Speech, Dana?
I don't know. I'm such a bad prognosticator. I just am so terrible at it. But it does seem like a lot of momentum is gathering under the King's Speech. And people had been talking about it as if it would be evenly matched in nominations with The Social Network, and it wasn't at all. It had way more. I forget, four or five more. So it does seem like the weight is gathering behind.
Do you think they swoon over things British, as the listener says, Tony?
I think there's certainly a history of that. They certainly swoon over British actors and actresses and over, you know, movies having to do with the royals. The Queen was a big hit a few years ago. I think that it's interesting if this is going to come down to a two picture race between The King's Speech and The Social Network,
right.
Which is
probably
kind of had some interesting potential splits there, generational and also in a way cultural. And I think certainly Colin Firth has to be considered the front runner for Best Actor. He's a very well-regarded British actor who, was maybe passed over last year for a wonderful performance in a movie called The Single Man. He's also playing a character overcoming a disability, which is one of the all-time favorite, Oscar.
Yes,
kind of
things that they like. All right, New York Times film critic A.O. Scott, Slate film critic Dana Stevens. Oscar nominations out this morning. Thank you both so much. Good conversation.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks.
And join us for the State of the Union address tonight at 9 on WNYC. And join me and others tweeting live on itsafreecountry.org. You can join that Twitter stream at 9 tonight. See you then.